particularly interesting to me is that what finally motivated her to face down that fear and learn to speak out was a passionate belief in what she had to say. And again, a quote, "What a surprise to discover that when fired up by conviction, I could speak spontaneously." The reason I find this so fascinating is that what motivated her to speak out was not the desire to call attention to herself, not that experience of taking center stage for its own pleasure or that you will get the respect you deserve, but again, it's focused out. It's to support a goal that she thinks is important to the world, to get a job done that she thinks is important to do. Well, Governor Kunin's early reluctance to speak in public is something that I've heard from many women in public life who have said that that was one of the big obstacles to entering public life. And once again, we can see the seeds of this reluctance in how children learn to use language growing up. Once more, I want to take some examples, and we can just see this brewing and how this behavior starts in an observation that several of my students did as field notes in a course that they were taking at Georgetown University with me. So you remember the assignment I gave them to go out and observe children in some setting and notice the patterns that they encountered that differentiated the boys and the girls. One of the students in my class, Ayana Hoffman, took several other class members with her to attend her 12-year-old cousin's birthday party. There was a lot of commotion going on at the party because one girl, and I'll call her Mary, said something that hurt the feelings of another girl, and I'll call the other girl Sue. Sue was so hurt by what Mary had said that she went into the bathroom crying. So this is what created the commotion. The other girl started going in and out of the bathroom, checking on Sue, finding out what was wrong, trying to comfort her. And Sue's best friend, Kate, took a special role. She was kind of in charge. She would talk privately with the other girls. She would report on Sue's feelings. Then she would talk privately with Mary, the girl who had hurt Sue's feelings in the first place. So this was this little drama going on. While this drama was going on among the girls, the boys were busy playing video games, and another student, Courtney Howard, observed the boys. She described them as goofing off. She also described one boy, and I'll call him Jason, was giving another boy, Joe, a hard time, and the other boys joined in. My students noticed that when they came upon Kate and Mary whispering in the laundry room, as soon as my students appeared, the girls just stopped talking. But when they were listening in on the boys' conversation, and here I'm quoting Courtney Howard's field notes, the boys, quote, kind of acted up their emotions as if they were playing in front of an important audience. And I love it because here you have these differing reactions. What the girls are doing, they're private speaking, and it has to do with friendships and relationships among them, and it's secrets being told and exchanged. You can't do that in public, and so when someone comes in who might be an observer, they just clammed up. The boys, on the other hand, were kind of playing to the crowd, and so when my students appeared in their presence, they not only didn't stop talking, but they exaggerated it as if they were displaying for an audience. So these different patterns, the girls' inclination to hide their conflict and the boys to make it into a kind of performance, in itself could explain why so many middle-class girls are reluctant to talk in front of others and why so many adult women have to learn to speak up at meetings. And I want to stress here that this is not true for every cultural group or every class. There is certainly some indication that working class girls learn to talk up in groups just as much as boys do. And there are certainly cultural differences here, too. So the Eastern European Jewish environment in which I grew up, there were women, and I think of one friend of my parents named Thelma Chernin, who was always holding center stage and telling jokes. And this would be true of many other cultural groups, for example, African Americans or Italian Americans, Greek Americans, South Americans, at least from some South American countries, where you will find women as well as men holding forth in a group. Nonetheless, the pattern that I'm describing, which my students, Ayana Hoffman and Courtney Howard, observed among these children, these 12-year-old children at a birthday party, and the very fact that the boys were playing with the boys and the girls with the girls in itself, of course, is interesting to us.